This is Michael W. Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in Wyoming. And Mr. Nima Vedati is out again. And we have Garrett Fox. How you doing, Garrett Fox?
Excellent, excellent. So glad to be here talking to you live from Space Worm 1 orbiting high above the Earth's atmosphere.
Isn't that one of the SpaceX crafts?
Quite possibly.
It's one of the Space Triple X crafts. That's the real libertarian private space company. Comes with in-flight movies that are adult only. Yeah. Yep. So Mr. Nima Vedati is going to be back tomorrow. Yay! And he's going to have a very special announcement. So you should all tune in on your Radio Worm 1 units and put on your decoder rings, and you'll be able to hear that. And, you know, you and I are going to Porkfest, and we're going to meet. I'm going to meet my friend Garrett. You looking forward to that?
I cannot wait. I finally stopped bugging you about going to Porkfest, and you decided to go one year.
Yeah, everyone stopped bugging me about it. Even Ian Freeman, who every person he talks to, he's like, "So, when are you going to move to New Hampshire?" And I finally said, "I'm not going to move to New Hampshire." And then he kept saying, "When are you going to come to Porkfest?" And I kept saying, "I'm not going to come to Porkfest." And he stopped asking me. And then my wife and I just decided to go, and we're really psyched about it. But there's also something going on. Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, who we had on interviewing a couple weeks ago, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org. That's freestatewyoming.org. That's kind of like the, you'd like that one. You'd like that one too, Garrett.
Definitely sounds like fun. I think it's laissez-faire and shooting.
Yeah,
Put the two of those together.
Laissez-faire. Yeah, I'm not French, man. I never got that word, but it's a good word. It means leave me alone in French, basically. And we have another one. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There'll be lots of family and grown-up activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to MIPLC.org. That's MIPLC.org. And did I mention bacon?
Everybody loves bacon.
Bacon's like the new cupcakes, huh? It's the hip food.
Yeah, pretty soon people are going to be using bacon for fake mustaches.
I smell a meme in that. That'd be pretty funny. So, are you onto the vaping tip? Are you a nicotine user? This is not an ad. I'm done with the ads, but go on.
I actually have my vapor cig right here. I like to call it a vapor cig rather than an e-cig.
I like that. I like that. Did you hear that the FDA is going to be cracking down on it?
Oh, well, that figures. I'm surprised it took them so long.
Yeah, and it's a whole bunch of there's a bunch of people who never pay attention to politics who love vaping, who are suddenly writing to congressmen. You know, that's how they want us. They want us able to be manipulated and controlled. And the thing is, they invite you to take part in the process. It's your civil duty. If you don't like the law, get involved. And, you know, I mean, working through the system has led to marijuana being decriminalized in some states and, medical use in some states. And it's basically taken about 40 years of about a million people working full time to get it to where, you know, if you're a cancer patient dying in excruciating pain, you're somebody's grandma dying of cancer, the politicians will let you get a license to smoke a joint. So I don't really like the way the political system works. And basically what they're doing these days is like they don't even listen. The you can yell for 40 years and by the time, you know, they just do what they're going to do anyway. I've seen that especially a lot at the local level too, or it's more visible at the local level. You know, they'll say, come take part of the process. And you go down to City Hall and go to the county clerk, the county meetings or whatever, the board or the city board. And, you know, basically it's like, it's not a king anymore. It's kind of the king distributed. There's like five kings, you know, there's five people that make all the decisions in a town, the town council. And they say that they're voted in, but they're really not, you know, like you never put it this way. You never see anybody getting that job who's a weirdo. Everybody who gets that job has some kind of internal connections with the sheriff's brother's dentist or something like that. And, you know, they can do things like in my town, they outlawed collecting classic cars, you know, like even out in the county, like if you were out in the sticks and you moved out there because you wanted to have, you know, 20 cars around for parts for making other cars, they like heavily, they first they were going to take them all away and they took some guy's land for that. And then they were going to just tax them so heavily that like, you know, old people that had cars that they'd had since they were young people couldn't afford to keep them. They just want to steal your stuff, basically.
Yeah, I mean, to wrap the first part of that up into a single bumper sticker, I mean, politicians are selected, not elected.
Ooh.
Definitely giving favors back and forth to everybody, but still maintaining some illusion or a bit of an illusion that the people have a say.
Yeah, and they usually have some kind of, the people who get elected usually have some kind of, have their claws in institutions like the media, you know, like, I mean, how many town councils can you think of where, you know, the sheriff and the mayor are related and their cousin owns the only newspaper in town, that kind of thing.
Well, I'd have to look into that to let you know, but I'm sure it's widespread.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not anything as definite as that. I mean, that's a pretty like almost scripted example, but you know, in most cases, like they, you know, people say without the government, who would build the roads? And my answer is like somebody other than the mafia, you know, because generally contracts, government contracts, because they're so lucrative, they're like, they're doled out to people as favorism. You know, if you, where my dad lives, he owned a piece of land on the lake and it was kind of away from anywhere there was any development. It was probably worth some money, but not a lot. But they were thinking of putting a bridge across the lake through, and his land was one of the places they were choosing. And basically, like, the price of this land would have gone up from, like, $20,000 to, like, $750,000. But they ended up putting the bridge at a less accessible place where the lake was wider, where it was less efficient to do it. And it came out that the state congressman who was in charge of allocating that on the transportation board was the cousin of the owner of the contracting company that built the bridge. You know, that's really common.
Yep. More material, bigger projects, bigger paychecks.
Yeah, and that's never in the paper. You know, I heard a great saying yesterday. I think I'm going to use it for the name of this episode today. The only thing true in the newspaper is the date.
And see, that's the thing. I always hear that complaint, without the government, what would we, you know, who would build the roads? And to me, it's almost like the reason we're still stuck in this primal drive around on asphalt with potholes and everything is because of the government. Yeah. You know, if the technology hadn't been set back so many years and innovation was easily allowed, we'd probably have a completely different system by now. I mean, how long have we been putting rubber tires on our vehicles and driving around patching up asphalt?
Yeah, why not have roads made of some sort of like intelligent silicon that's self-healing when there's a pothole?
Yeah, you know? I mean, well, and all kinds of other stuff. The highway systems, you could link cars up so they're riding in trains together so that, you know, people aren't relying on other people in other lanes paying attention to them while they're going down the road at 60, 90 miles per hour.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all these conspiracy theories about that people have come up with carburetors that allow cars to get 100 miles to the gallon. And they're always either bought out by the car companies or the oil companies, or they're murdered or something. And I don't know if that's true. And people love to believe that kind of stuff without a lot of proof. You know, they'll show you what Ben Stone calls, or what Nima Vedati calls, blurry pictures with red arrows added. Which is like, right. It's, yeah. That's kind of the proof of any conspiracy theory. Like, they'll take a picture, you know, like in a schoolyard shooting, they'll take like the aerial photo from the news taken off the TV, and it's kind of blurry, and then they'll add red arrows. Anytime I go to a website that has blurry pictures with red arrows added, I immediately doubt anything on it. Now, the thing is, I don't doubt that the government kills people. The government in every country, you know, by design, that's what their basically their job description is, sure. And their reason to be. But I have a lot of doubt of a lot of conspiracies that are handed to me as evidence. I just reject them outright and say, you need to come with more news than that to me. Like, you know, one is contrails. Like, people say, well, you can tell that they're spraying things when there's a lot of them in the air. And I'm like, no, you live near a city and there's a lot of airplanes over a city. You know, it's high traffic, but yeah. I don't always believe conspiracy theories, you know, just because they're presented and just because they could be true. But, overall, you know, I don't necessarily think that there's been a carburetor that gets 100 miles to the gallon that someone gets killed, you know, for inventing it by the oil companies. But I do believe that without the government stomping on innovation, you know, of like, it's so hard to start a business, that mm-hmm. I really do think that we would be flying in flying cars or driving in self-driving cars on intelligent roads that heal when they get a pothole without the government.
It's funny that you bring up the innovation part of that, because I've actually spent a little bit of time in my parents' garage putting together a hydrogen generator. The idea was to create hydrogen using water and separating the hydrogen out of it with electricity so that you can then send that into the intake manifold of your vehicle and get much, much better fuel economy. And some people took it so far as to running a vehicle off entirely nothing but hydrogen.
So you've actually done this?
Yeah. I'd never installed it in my car, but it certainly was making hydrogen.
Is it powering Airworm 1 that you're flying in right now?
That's what got me up here.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Garrett Fox sitting in for Mr. Nima Vedati.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
All right. Yes. This is Mr. Michael Dean talking to Garrett Fox on the Freedom Fiends. So I got a couple internet information announcements. One is, have you heard about this Heartbleed bug,
Garrett? I've heard little bits and pieces about it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of late getting to this. I mean, it's been exposed and largely patched. Basically, it was... Now, this is proof that just because someone says, oh, this is open source, doesn't mean you can trust it. Because open source means the source code is not secret and it is available to the public, and computer experts can vet it and look through it for problems. But it doesn't mean they have vetted it and looked through it for problems. And it's not just looking through the code, because people had looked through the code for OpenSSL, which is what the Heartbleed bug attacked. But they and it was widely in use. I mean, it runs, you know, something like 7% of the servers on the internet use it, and it's a way of proving that the website you're looking at is the website you're looking at. It's SSL, but it's open. And it, you know, so it's a way of providing security also. And this, it came out that there was a bug in it whereby sending an irregular heartbeat to it, you could get passwords. Now, a heartbeat in the internet is basically a pulse at a regular interval, not necessarily the interval of a human heart. It's usually actually every few seconds that when two computers are communicating to each other, it basically says, yes, I'm still here. The connection has not been dropped. And it turned out that in OpenSSL, by sending an irregular heartbeat, not the one that's being expected, it could leak a certain amount of data from the other computer's memory with each heartbeat. And if you did that long enough, you could get the passwords from that other computer. Now, the thing is, here's proof that the government hates you and doesn't care about you and considers you a child to be controlled and a cattle to be milked. The NSA, National Security Administration, their mission statement is that their responsibility is for the security of the nation. And they've been really big on the fact that saying that includes internet security recently. They knew about this bug months ago and did not alert the public because they wanted to use it to exploit it and spy on people. So it'd be basically like, you know, if the government knew a certain car killed you and did not issue a recall or tell anyone about it because, you know, they wanted to see how many people that car would kill because it was to some advantage, you know, maybe eventually it would kill someone they didn't like. That's basically the same thing.
And that's the National Security Association.
Yeah.
It sounds more like the National Spy Association.
Well, it is. It is. But here's the news you can use with it. If you are a client of Bola VPN, B-O-L-E-H VPN, who is one of our advertisers, you should update to the newer client because they issued a client that patches that. So, yeah.
Now, have you had any negative effects from this heartbleed thing?
I don't know. That's the kind of the nature of it. Like, you don't know if you're, you know, there's different kinds of hacking and cracking. And I think that the type that the government most likes to do, I mean, sometimes they take down websites, but the NSA doesn't take down websites usually. You know, DHS or Department of Commerce or the TSA has taken down websites that insult the TSA, things like that. The NSA generally wants to keep you up and running and happy on your computer and doing everything you'd normally do, and they want to watch it all. They want to spy on it all. So, yeah, I haven't had any side effects from it. I've changed all my passwords on everything, though, which you should probably do regularly. Well, see, but
I think what happened to me was a result of heartbleed. I mean, I'm not 100% positive, but I was starting to get messages from people on Facebook saying, "Hey, I think your email has been hacked." And so I went and I couldn't even log in to my email account until I changed my password. So I changed my password, get on there, and then all of a sudden I had like 149 bounced back emails. Mm. So apparently everybody on my like contacts list got emailed, and you know, even old addresses and everything. So those were all the ones that bounced back, and it was just insane. Like my entire window was full of all of these messages coming bouncing back, and I haven't had anything else happen ever since I cleaned that whole mess up. But
yeah, I generally let people know when I get something that seems really spammy or weird from the account of someone I know who would never send anything like that. I usually write them and say, "Hey man, I think you've been hacked. Change your password."
Sure.
All right, we'll be back. And you should change your password on everything. Your banking, everything. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the Cowboy State. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
My cat's looking at me. What does he want? What? What, cat? You're creeping me out. Daddy's doing radio, kitty. Meow. Are you there, Garrett, meowing away?
Yep, just hanging out, listening to you talk to your cats.
This is what radio sounds like now. Yeah, you're in Maryland, right?
That's right.
Isn't that one of the worst states in America for laws, nanny laws?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It doesn't
say the worst. It's no New Jersey, but
I know it doesn't get the press it deserves, though. You know, if you talk to somebody about, like, oh, you know, what states have the worst gun laws? They're going to say Illinois, Chicago, D.C., the state of D.C., New York, New Jersey, but they're not going to remember to say Maryland. I knew a guy who worked for the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, the department of they give guns to everybody who works for the government to arm them and give them 40 cal bullet. I actually know a guy that works there. We probably just lost half our listeners, but he can't even get a pistol permit. He can't even carry a gun in his state in Maryland.
Okay, but for a carry permit there, right?
Right, right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can definitely attain them, and I know, yeah, big deal, you can carry on your own property and whatnot. But yeah, if you go out there, there's some concealed permits that you can get if you're, you know, a banker or something making late night deposits. But other than that, it is really difficult to obtain.
Yeah, that's the same way in Los Angeles. You to get a permit, you have to either be a movie star, a judge, or a diamond merchant. And it's like, so diamond merchants. So basically, what they're saying is money is worth more than human life. Like, you can't have a gun to protect yourself, even if you live in some scary gang-ridden neighborhood in LA. But if you're carrying large amounts of money, that's worth more than human life. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and on the same token, I can walk into a Walmart or Dick's Sporting Goods right now and walk out with a shotgun, not an hour later.
I can walk into a sporting goods store here and buy a semi-auto rifle with a 30-round mag and buy the bullets and load it in the parking lot and set it in the driver's seat of my car and drive around.
And that's a little easier.
Yeah.
See, I would have to take the ammo, put it in my glove compartment, make sure that the shotgun is locked, like trigger locked or bolt locked or something along those lines.
Locked and not loaded.
Yep. You got to have three steps to take before you can load it.
You know, in Wyoming, you can walk into a sporting goods store, buy a handgun, buy bullets, go sit in your car and load it, and put it in your pocket without a permit, without any background check. And the state has some of the lowest violent crime of any state. It's actually got a lot of property crime, which is not surprising, and most of it's based on, I mean, property crime, like, you know, it's got about the national average of people breaking into houses, which is because they crack down here so hard on hard drugs that addictive drugs are ridiculously expensive and people have to commit crimes to get them, where they should just be freely available at Walmart, but probably in a different section than the sugar and flour, so there's no confusion.
Now, what's the big city in Wyoming? I'm almost embarrassed to ask that. Yeah, is there a downtown anywhere in Wyoming?
The downtowns anywhere in Wyoming look like the 50s or 40s frozen in time. They all have like the sparkling one movie theater and, you know, streets that aren't very wide and little stores that sell like decoupaged moose art and things like that. It's really cool, man. I like it. It's you know, when people say like they want to go back to the when things were good in America, like I kind of picture any town, Wyoming, is what that would look like in your mind. But The two biggest towns here are Casper, where I live, and Cheyenne, which is the, you know, state tyranny. It's where the politicians are. It's the, you know, the capital. I'm looking for the word. And both of those cities are around 56,000 people, and they're the biggest towns in the state. The state has about 550,000 people in it, and it's giant. It's a very big state. I think you could fit about 400 Marylands in this state. No, you could probably fit about 30 Marylands, 40 Marylands in this state. A lot of this state looks like the moon with sagebrush. I mean, you can drive for hours in this state and not see many cars at all and not see many houses or people. It's pretty cool. I mean, I live in Casper, it feels like a small town. It feels like the small town in upstate New York I grew up in. When you look around and walk around, there's trees, there's, you know, dogs in yards, there's people working on their trucks. It's friendly. But literally, if I walk like 8 blocks up the street next to us, I'm up at a hill that looks out over the river, and you know, there's town for about 3 or 4 miles, and beyond that, it just kind of ends, and then it's prairie, like as far to the horizon, like as far as you can see. It's there's a whole lot of space here, and I really like it. And I'm not talking about the kind that we're going to colonize to get away from the government. I'm talking about space here on Earth. So I got a couple news you can use. One is PayPal. When you're donating money to the Freedom Fiends or sending money to a friend on PayPal, there's two defaults. One is like, I'm paying for goods and services. That's the default. But there's another one that you have to pick. It's I'm sending money to family or friends. And if you pick the non-default one, when you send money to somebody, they don't have to pay a fee to get it, which is pretty cool. And it's kind of set up to make you pay the fee, but you don't have to pay the fee. You can take that extra step. And, you know, I mean, most of what people do is send money to friends or you know, buy services and goods with things. So there's a video series I want to highly recommend that everyone go watch. And Nima Vedati and I are going to be discussing it at length tomorrow. It's from Vice News. Do you know what Vice News is, Garrett?
Yeah, I've seen their website.
Can you describe what Vice News is?
I'm not that familiar. I've seen the links and everything.
Well, it's made by Vice Magazine, which has been around for 15 years or so, which is kind of a hipster New York. You know, one of their big things is like photos of people looking ridiculous at parties, which sounds like, how could someone who's built a magazine doing that? And it is a print magazine as well as online. You know, how could someone who makes, you know, photos of hipsters looking drunk and stupid as their main business model, how could they possibly make anything newsworthy? But actually, they have done a series called Vice News that's all on YouTube that is the best news out there. It's the complete opposite of, you know, the newspaper. The only thing true in the newspaper is the date. And I actually heard that in a Vice News coverage of something. Now, they excel at what I call bulletproof vest journalism, which is basically where embedded reporters go over to war zones and report from the front lines. And I'm not just talking about, like, they're not embedded with the U.S. troops. I mean, they do things like, They've snuck into North Korea 2 or 3 times and filmed, which is like, you can get murdered for doing that by the government. They recently did this thing, you know, they go to like the Gaza Strip and report on the Jewish squatters there that are taking the Palestinians' land. And the thing is, they have no agenda, man. It's like the only news I've seen that has no agenda. They just report the facts. The only time the reporters seem to editorialize, one thing is they seem a little bit more, slightly more in favor of underdogs than overdogs. Like, you know, I mean, they sent an Israeli reporter to the Gaza Strip, and he kind of seemed like he was very slightly favoring the Palestinians, even though he's an Israeli citizen, because it's like, you know, the Palestinians are the underdog. They sent the same guy to Ukraine to report there. And, you know, all sides in that fight, and there's more than two, are just being horrible to each other. And you know, but he basically, he kind of like very slightly seemed to favor the Ukrainians over the Russians because they're, the Ukrainians are the underdog in that fight. But then he actually ended up getting kidnapped by an even smaller underdog, by a, you know, Ukrainian separatist group who held him prisoner for a few days. So I want to recommend the all of the Vice News video series, but I especially want to, the one we're going to be discussing tomorrow is called Russian Roulette. really stupid title, but it's Russian Roulette, and the Russian Roulette, the invasion of Ukraine, and it's like a 24-part series. Like each part's between 5 and 10 minutes long. I couldn't find a way to make them play one after the other, but they're worth just watching them all. And in part 24, he basically asks this local separatist, self-declared mayor of this this region in the Ukraine, a question like, you know, did you guys attack yourself and try to make it look like someone else did it? And they actually did, like, kidnapped him for 5 days for this. They kidnapped him and somebody from Time magazine. And the guy's name is Simon Ostrovsky, Ostrovsky. He's an American. He's got dual citizenship, American and Israeli, and he was born in Russia, and he's about 30 years old. I swear, over the couple months of him doing this, like, his hair got grayer. It might just be that he's prematurely gray for a 32-year-old and dyes his hair black, and, like, it was washing out as he showered. But it literally looks, you know, kind of like how Obama has gotten grayer, like, a lot grayer in 6 years or whatever. But Obama's a tyrant, and this guy, Simon Ostrovsky is a good guy, man. He's a real journalist. You don't see this stuff in the mainstream media. And I mean, this guy is going where you need a bulletproof vest. He is going, you know, and it's not with a news crew. It's like with one other guy, with one cameraman. And it's really amazing stuff. Have you seen any of it?
Like, I fired up a little bit of the video last night that you sent me, but I'm definitely intrigued to get in through the rest of it. I mean, yeah. That does sound like the type of job that's going to make your hair go gray and fall out.
I mean, they have done just mind-blowing things. Like, they went to, the weapons markets of the Khyber Pass, you know, like where people hand make AK-47s, you know, using like medieval metalworking equipment. I think that kind of area is a lot of people's view of what a libertarian paradise would look like. 'Cause it's basically like, you know, an open air market that's selling like, you know, scarves and jewelry and fig cakes and AK-47s, and people are test firing them in the air all the time. Like, that's the agora in that region. But they go there with Vice News, and it's real truth, not like the newspaper, where the only truth is the date. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the agora market.
Yes. We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. ShinyBadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
All right. Freedom Fiends. Garrett Fox wants to talk about Porkfest and kittens.
Yeah, because, like I said, this is exciting for me because we've known each other, what, 3 years now, and yeah. we've never actually met in person. And I yeah. think that's one of the most beautiful things at Porkfest. It gets so many of our people together in one campgrounds. It's, you know, just bound to be a good time.
Or, as the government would call it in their drone program, gets them all together in one target-rich environment. Do you play Spot the Fed there?
Oh, yeah. That's an ongoing
game. Do you ever think you spot them?
The first and second year I was there, it seemed like there was definitely a Fed presence, and maybe they just wised up over the past couple of years and laid lower.
Well, you know, at the Pumpkin Fest in Keene this year, they had snipers on the roof, government snipers. You know about that?
I did hear about that. Yeah, that's a little on the creepy side, huh?
Yeah, they didn't send their best men for it, though, because somebody snuck up on the roof they were on and filmed them from behind. Yeah. Well, snuck up on the roof they were on, got behind them, about 20 feet behind them or 30 feet behind them, which no sniper worth his salt in the world would ever let anyone do. And then not only did that happen, the guy got up there and realized he didn't have his telephoto lens. He climbed back down, climbed back up undetected, and got behind these snipers and filmed them.
Wow.
So, man, I think they're hiring these guys off a pizza box or a cereal box. Maybe it's a prize in your cereal. Like, you get to be a government sniper and make $100,000 a year.
They're hiring them off of Facebook.
Are they?
Yeah, the ads popping up on the side. Would you like a job in law enforcement?
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because those pop up whenever you criticize the government. Like, yep. I hate the DHS. They're totally immoral. And then suddenly, like, next page you look at, would you like to work for the DHS? Seriously. Yep. Or, you know, you say, Obama reminds me of Hitler. And then you'll get vote for Obama for his third term. You know, help volunteer for Obama for his third term or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, but kitties in Porkfest.
Yeah. So, are you bringing your kitties to Porkfest?
I'm not bringing kitties to Porkfest. No, we're actually hiring a house sitter who's going to stay here and take care of the cats and hang out. We're not paying him much. He's a friend, but we're basically like, yeah, you can hang out and watch the big screen TV and, you know, play with our many cats in our many rooms and eat our food and
right.
give him a little bit of money just to, you know, have someone guard in the nest, you know, we're giving him a snub-nosed revolver, you know, like you do with any guard, you know, to use. But mainly it's like, our cats are really weird, and if we go away for 6 days and come back and they haven't had any human contact, they will be insane for about 2 weeks. They're so, like, needy. They were one of them wouldn't care, but two of them are rescue cats, and I think they were, I don't know if they were abused, but I think they had, like, no human contact for the first 6 months because they were really sketchy when we got them, and they're still really sketchy about strangers, but they know this guy. He's not a stranger. He's been over for dinner a number of times, so it'll be all good. Cool. But yeah, man, we're not bringing the kitties. I remember I looked at the Burning Man website one time. I wasn't actually thinking of going, but I was just reading it, and on their FAQ page, one of the questions is like, you know, can I bring my dog? And it has like all of the things you have to do extra to, you know, you have to bring like 20 gallons of water a day just for your dog. You have to keep your dog on a leash. You have to do this. You have to do that. Make sure. Mm-hmm. And then the next question isn't even a question. It just says, and don't even think of bringing a cat. You know, I mean, yeah. It's like, this is held out in the desert, you know, yeah. where it's like 40 degrees at night and 124 in the afternoon. And, you know, there's loud noises everywhere and people driving drunk on the playa. They're driving. Basically, that event is like driving drunk on eco-friendly homemade vehicles. So we'll be back.
I've seen cats there before.
Really? At Burning Man or Porkfest?
Porkfest.
Well, Porkfest would be a lot more hospitable to a cat, I think. It's not the desert. And there aren't as many people driving drunk in homemade green vehicles. All right. We will be back. You can knock us down, but we get back up again, as those anarcho-syndicalists Chumbawamba once sang in unison and harmony. And we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends Weekend Edition with Garrett Fox and Michael Dean. worms. We'll talk about kitties when we get back.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Radio. It's radio. Never thought I'd be on radio. Always wanted to be on radio. For some reason, they let me on the radio. Can you believe that, Garrett?
It's hard to believe.
It really is, man. It really, really is. Yeah, you know, there's one station I'm really trying hard to get on in Thurmont, Maryland. I've been talking to the guy for about a year. I call him every month, and he keeps saying, well, we like you. When we get a slot, we're going to put you on. You know why I really want to be on the radio in Thurmont, Maryland?
Why is that?
Because Camp David is included in that radio station's broadcast area.
Oh, interesting.
I want the president to be able to be on vacation and listen to my show.
Yeah. Not out golfing, but listening to the Fiends.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably have like any political talk stations blocked on Camp David. They probably use their voodoo technology to block the free speech from getting to the president because it might be dangerous. They don't want him to really, you know, they always say, well, be a part of the process. We want to hear what you have to say. And then, like, you know, you show up to protest and they rope you off a mile away and call it a free speech zone. Man, that sounds, free speech zone just sounds like 1984 to me. It's ridiculous. Orwellian.
Yep. Stay over there where nobody can hear you and you can't get your point across to
anybody. You can say whatever you want. Yeah. Nima Vedati and I have a saying that radicals become conservatives the day after the revolution. And it's pretty much universally true. You know, the people who are like, we're being oppressed. If they actually throw out the oppressors, day one, they become the oppressors. And there is the most perfect example of that in this Vice News, bulletproof vest journalism, boots on the ground, risking his life to get the story. Simon Ostrovsky over there filming this stuff, because in one town in the disputed zone of the Ukraine, this group is kind of bizarre too. It's like it was Afghanistan war veterans. You know, the people who fought the proto Taliban, when the Russians tried to take over, like. The Afghanistan vets in Russia are kind of like the Vietnam vets in America. Like, that was their Vietnam. That was their quagmire that really didn't have a clear winner. It was them trying to engage in old-style warfare against guerrilla warfare of people defending their own territory. That's kind of an unwinnable situation anywhere, but especially in Afghanistan, it has been for a couple thousand years. And, so this group of Afghanistan vets, Afghan war vets, Russians, actually Ukrainians, because they used to be Russians and then Ukrainian got sovereignty. And now, you know, Russia is trying to take back the Crimea region, and they've sort of succeeded, but sort of haven't. It's a big quagmire, and there's more than two players in this. There's the thing that really disgusts me about it, though, is how many Russians, older ones, but especially younger ones, how many Ukrainians want to rejoin Russia? Like, basically, I could expect it from the old people who are like the conservatives. They're like, ah, Mother Russia, you know, like, I miss the bread lines. They had so much order, and now there's so much chaos with this free market. You know, they want to go back to waiting in lines, because a lot of them really like the pageantry of the Soviet Union. Like, they miss the military parades, and they miss being able to narc out their neighbors that they don't like and have them taken away to Siberia. You know, that's so square. It's so horrible. And there's people like that in America too. The other thing is too, the patriotism in this stuff is like identical to American patriotism. Like Americans who believe USA, USA, which really only leads to like Barack Obama being your lord and master. I mean, that's what led to that, is like unquestioning devotion to your nation. You know, the thing is that doesn't, that's not uniquely American. Every country in the world brainwashes all their citizens to think they're number one. And there's a lot of that in this series. There's a lot of, you know, Russians saying, Russia, number one, Ukraine must rejoin. And there's a lot of Ukraine saying, Ukraine, number one, we'll never join Russia. And there's a lot of like pro-Russian Ukrainians and Russians beating up Ukrainians who want to remain sovereign, like beating them up for protesting. Like, imagine, here's the corollary. If the European Union said America's going to join us no matter what and become Europe, and Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, President Hillary Clinton said, yes, we will do that. And they had some kind of fake election that didn't really count everybody. And 61% of the people said, yes, we want to join the European Union. And then like the pro-American Union people came around beating up the Americans who wanted to stay American. That's what's going on over there, basically, with the Ukraine. There's a little more details to it than that, but that's basically what's going on. So this Ukrainian separatist group that didn't want to join Russia, you know, basically freedom fighters, basically rebels, basically people who wanted to be left alone, took over the city hall or some government building in their town. They went into it like on a weekend when no one was in there. They didn't have weapons, but they found a bunch of weapons in there. Like the government had a bunch of weapons in there, and they armed themselves and they barricaded this building. And they said, like, we're the new government. This town is now the People's Republic of Nestistan, or whatever it was called. It sounded like The Nest to me, but I think it was Denest is the name of the town. But it sounded like The Nest, which is what I call my house. So, you know, the People's Sovereign Republic of The Nest. They declared a new government. They wrote a constitution. And then they got really drunk and woke up with really bad hangovers and said, no, they didn't quit. They went out on the, you know, the balcony with a loudspeaker and declared to their 50 or 60 citizens in this area of like 100,000 that they declared, 50 or 60 people had declared, we're the new government here. And, you know, 20 of them in the building and 40 of them out in front of the building. And so the hungover freedom fighters went out on the balcony in the morning, poured their liquor over the side, and said, basically, freedom fighters are not effective if drunk. We're outlawing alcohol in this region until this until this our government is established and recognized. So
do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, so that's a perfect example of, you know, radicals seizing power and immediately becoming the conservatives.
Yeah, well, once you get a hold of that power, I guess you can get drunk just on the power itself. Once you've been oppressed for so long, now you have the power to oppress.
Yeah, it happens, man. Nima said it very well, that anybody involved in the political process is just trying to seize the government machine gun and point it at everybody in a 360-degree circle.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, that's why I have such a hard time following politics. I can barely keep track of what's going on in the United States, let alone the global politics that are going on all over the place.
Yeah, it's the same everywhere, though. I mean, my saying about America is Washington, D.C., defending the country from freedom since forever.
Yeah, I read it. You remind me of an article I was reading a couple of days ago. I'll have to see if I can dig it up before the end of the show, but it was talking about how other nations view the United States and things that we don't really realize are weird, like, for instance, having the American flag hanging outside of practically everyone's house, or you know, the whole Pledge of Allegiance, making our children say that in schools, and whatnot. And a lot of that stuff we've just grown up with and become so acclimated to. I mean, it's the same as
Russia had that, though. The Soviet Union had that in spades. I mean, the Soviet Union had the Soviet flag everywhere and had statues of Lenin everywhere and made them say, I don't know if they sang pledges of allegiance, but they sang the national anthem everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're pledging allegiance to a nation, you're not living your life to its fullest, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Although there was a kind of a Red Dawn moment in this. I was actually like rooting for these Ukrainians, because when Russia came in and, you know, basically said, you're now Russia, Ukraine, in this one region, they sang. It was really weird how they did the power handoff. It was like the Ukrainian soldiers didn't fight back at all. They were like the worst soldiers ever. Like, they didn't do their job. They didn't fight. They just handed their military bases over to Russians. And when they did it, they had a ceremony to kind of like pass the torch by force. And it's still not really established, like where it landed, you know, what is Ukraine now? So, but parts of it, you know, Russia has declared they own it. So they went in, the Russians went in with no insignia on the uniforms. Like, they didn't say what nation they were from, but finally it was established they were from Russia. They took over these Ukrainian bases and they lowered the Ukrainian flag and let the Ukrainians sing the national anthem. And then raised the Soviet, or the Russian flag while singing, and then the Russian people sang the Russian national anthem. It was really weird. And the Ukrainian national anthem, like the translation of some of the words in it, like every national anthem, you know, it's basically like, we will fight to the death for our glory of our nation. We will never surrender. And they're singing that while surrendering.
Right.
And the thing is, this was kind of defiant and kind of cool, was like, even though they were being puss-pusses and surrendering, and not doing their job as soldiers, like the job of soldiers anywhere would be to fight, and they didn't fight. They just, well, I guess they were following orders. They were given, and that's the real duty of any soldier. They were given orders to surrender. So when this Russian flag was going back up the flagpole, some of the Ukrainian soldiers sang the Ukrainian national anthem again, while the Russian, like, we won't sing your national anthem, which was kind of, I don't root for anybody being nationalistic, but I had to kind of root for them because they were being underdogs and defiant and could probably get killed for that, but probably knew they weren't gonna.
Right. Yeah. And see, that's the scary part, when you have to wonder whether or not you're going to be killed for standing up for whatever it is that you believe in. But you're right. I don't think anybody should be singing for any nation states. I mean, it's one planet.
And that's not a, here's the thing. We are not one worlders. We're not like you. We don't want a one world government. You know, there's a lot of difference when we say, hey man, it's one planet. We're not saying we want the UN to supersede the United States government. We want them all gone. We want
the war to end.
Yeah, we want the wars to end. We want secession down to the last man. You know, it's kind of funny because Republicans, small government Republicans, sound like anarchists when they're running for office now. And that's a direct lineage to Barry Goldwater. And then he was co-opted by Ronald Reagan, who was just an actor. But, you know, they're all like, I want government to be so small you can drown it in a bathtub. And we're like, I just want it to be like, make fun of it until it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one loves it.
Sound money.
Yeah, sound money. That's a good, like, worms. Sound money. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, flying over Wyoming in the airline that I work for now is called Flyoming, and they let me use the company blimp, Airworm One. Yes, I'm flying over Recluse, Wyoming, population 14. I love the name of that town and its population. I thought about living there, but my wife needs to work for attorneys because she's a paralegal, and she found a great one to work for here. You thought I was going to segue into an ad there, but I'm not. They have to turn down work because there's so, like, I don't know. There's just so much law in this town, in this state, for what you'd believe. Well. You'd think there wouldn't be a lot, but there's not in general. Like, there aren't a lot of police. You know, like, you can drive in Wyoming for 2 hours and not see a police. But, yeah, there's a lot of oil contracts here and water right disputes and family law and, you know, people.
You know, you've already sold my mother on moving to Wyoming. She sent me a text message during the last segment saying, oh, let's move to Wyoming. I guess we'll have to figure out how to farm and get work.
Didn't I scare your mother back when I was on Facebook by Facebooking with her? Or you didn't want me talking to your mother?
You guys might have had a back and forth for a minute there.
You thought I was going to hit on her or something, didn't you? I'm a happily married man.
I don't want her being embarrassed is all.
you know, I'm happily married, and you know, I might invite somebody to come swing with my wife and I, huh? Like your mother.
See, I already regret bringing it up.
Yeah, this is a family friendly show, so we're not going to go there. So we're going to talk about square nanny staters and how horrible they are and how they try to wreck everything, even beautiful traditions of other countries. And, you know, sometimes they do that by saying, USA, the military is great. No matter what they do, you got to back them. I support the troops, but I don't support the army. You know, my son's in the army and I support him as a human being. But I would support the thing I would love to do with the troops is just bring them home, man. And I don't mean bring them home and park them on every corner like Obama'd like to do to take our guns. But I think you got to just not support the endless wars of any nation. And that's what nations do. Because literally, like, you know, a nation without an army is just a suggestion. it's just a social club. And, you know, armies aren't content to just sit there and be there to defend. They want to go make empires, and the U.S. is the biggest at doing that. And, you know, if you say, I support the military no matter what you do, and you're a Republican, it must be a real, like, mind warp when Barack Obama becomes the commander-in-chief of the military. Like, literally, he's in charge of the military. He's the guy that can tell him what to do. And he can tell him to blow up wedding parties because there's a guy there that criticized Barack Obama. Yeah. They don't love him. They don't love him around the world, even in Europe. He recently spoke at The Hague on nuclear disarmament, you know, just giving a speech. And no one applauded him. It was really weird. There's video of it. And he just stood there like, wait, what now? And, you know, the the docent volunteer came up and like led him by the arm, like, over here, leave the stage now. And, you know,
well, at least, you know, nobody threw a shoe and they didn't have to insert a laugh track or
right,
anything.
Right. I think what it was The Hague, where they have the international war crimes hearings. And I think everyone there was just thinking they were too busy to clap because they were thinking, man, keep it up and we'll have you back here in a trial for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's why I'm glad I'm out of predator range up here in my Space Worm One.
Yeah, so there is this tradition called love locks, which is in Europe in a lot of countries. When couples are in love, they buy a lock. Sometimes it's a heart shaped lock, sometimes it's not, and they go to a bridge and they lock it on the bridge and they kiss each other and they, you know, it's a commitment ceremony. It's kind of like a marriage without the state. And what's it?
Oh, my do.
My do. Pepe Le Pew. You know, Pepe Le Pew is not a romantic cartoon character. He's a rapey character. He's rapey, man. He's horrible. He's like an aggressive date rapist cat skunk.
Well, he's a skunk that disguises himself as a cat.
Yeah.
All the pretty ladies are.
Yeah, so he's a fraud. He's like using fraud to commit date rape. He's just horrible, man. Pepe Le Pew is not cute. We used to have a guitar player in my band Bomb who had dual citizenship of America and France and liked to speak French and spoke it fluently and liked to speak it when he was drunk or trying to hit on women. And he wasn't date rapey, but he was really pushy with women. Almost, not quite to date rapey, but we used to call him Pepe Le Pew.
I wonder if he's got a love lock.
A love lock. Probably has 20 of them. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Camp David.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MeowBit.com.
Yeah. And that song was The Power of Suggestion by my band Bomb, featuring our guitar player Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, he was.
I love that. I love that music coming back in.
Cool, man. Yeah, he was not a date rapist, but he was like Pepe Le Pew. But he was so pushy that women would eventually either just slap him or just go, okay.
I give.
That's horrible, man. He was I remember one time, since he really liked womenizing around, and he was married. I remember one time he was playing in a band with my friend Bean, and this Pepe Le Pew guy was hitting on this woman, and we were going on tour the next day, and he said, my friend Bean was like, "You're married, man. What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, it's tradition to cheat on your wife the night before you go on tour," which is like the most disgusting thing anyone could say. He said, "You want to go with me? I'm going to go to this other bar and hit on women." And my friend Bean said to Pepe Le Pew, "No, man, I'm going over to your house."
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a rock and roll thing, though, isn't it? I'm out on tour. We're in a different zip code. It doesn't count, or something along those lines.
I was quite the womanizer, but I never cheated on a woman.
Good.
Yeah, it's one of the few saving graces of my misspent youth. So, speaking of love, or what passes for it in these troubled times, we're talking about the love lock thing, which is where married couple or couples in love, especially in Europe, will buy a lock, sometimes a heart-shaped lock, and lock it through the chain links on a bridge. And, well, I'm looking at this picture right now in the Pont de l'Arc. Pont des Arts in Paris. I can't say that right, probably, but it's a bridge on the Seine in Paris, and it's covered with locks. Like, there's this couple standing kissing in front of this the side of this bridge, and this is probably a chain link fence or something like it, and it's literally you can't see through it because it's covered with locks. Every square centimeter of this is covered with locks, and it's pretty cool. I think it's really beautiful. They're all different colored locks, and they all symbolize some couple's love for each other being undying and eternal. And it's kind of like marriage. There's just not governments and judges and lawyers involved. So, it's a real commitment that doesn't need the state. I like it.
In one of the pictures down below, it looks like there is a couple, like she's got like a wedding dress on, and it looks like the guy's in a tuxedo. They might actually be having a ceremony right there.
Yeah. And then, of course, since it's Paris, they showed this wall this wall of locks with some old man playing accordion sitting down like, "Yes, I am playing the great song." I spent a night in a squat in Paris when I was playing when I was over there showing my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, a movie I will be showing at Porkfest and giving a Q&A. I'll also be showing Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and giving a Q&A. And yeah, and that movie actually showed, it debuted, it had the world debut 4 years ago at Porkfest. I was not there, but
I was.
Yeah, and it got written up in some conservative magazine as one of the seven signs of evil. Like, it basically, they were like, and this is funny because these are like small government Republicans, and they're saying that like Porkfest is what's wrong with the world, and it's going to be the end of democracy because these people are slam dancing with pistols on their hips, and because a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom showed. They were just appalled by that. So
it's almost a badge of honor, though.
It really. Liam, they asked me to show something there, and then asked me to write up a description of what I was showing. And I thought it was just for internal use, but they actually used it on the Porkfest website, and I'm fine with it. But it basically was me pointing out that movie was used in a Republican hit piece on what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with these new conservative libertarians or whatever they are. So
appeal to your audience, right?
Yeah. So the locks of love, putting these locks on, it's a really beautiful thing, and I like it, and I have no problem with it. Being on public property, because I don't believe in public property. I'm not a big fan of ugly graffiti. I'm kind of a big fan of beautiful graffiti, and there's a lot of beautiful graffiti in Europe. I'm not a fan of graffiti on private property, but I am a fan of it on public property because it's everyone's property, you know, and there shouldn't be public property because the tragedy of the commons comes into play then to where like nobody can really use property and nobody really takes care of it right because everyone owns it and everyone has an agenda. So this Locks of Love thing, there's an American couple living in Paris. Talk about nanny staters. They've come over there, taken up residency, and they have an organization called No Love Locks. They want to ban it throughout the world, and they're trying to raise money to raise awareness, to use the government guns to stop lovers from locking their love onto bridges in a public declaration. Now, I can't find anything about France's reaction to this, but the thing you have to know about France, their reputation, I love France. I don't call them cheese-eating surrender monkeys or anything, you know? And anybody who calls them that for not taking part in, you know, any conflict or whatever, doesn't know history, because while there have been some people who've surrendered in France, probably because they'd rather be making love than war, because they are lovers, you know, the resistance, la resistance, in against the Nazis was brutal and effective and really admirable. I mean, that's what a resistance should be. But the French, the thing you have to know about them, their reputation as being really snooty and nationalistic and not liking outsiders is not without truth. Throughout most of Europe, if you speak English, you don't need to learn another language. If you live there, you can speak English and get by. In Germany, the average German under 40 speaks English better than you do. And I'm serious. I mean, their grammar, to the point of almost sounding annoying, because they'll try to make perfect constructs of grammar in English, and they can, to where they'll do things like, you know, like rearrange a sentence to sound more awkward to not end it in a preposition, which is actually a rule that shouldn't be a rule, and is only a rule because one guy didn't like that, Noah Webster, and he wrote the first English rule book, and he just made up his own rules. And teachers have passed it on as fact. When there's no basis, there's no reason that you have to rearrange a sentence to end not in a preposition about, you know.
Well, American English is one of the hardest things to learn if you didn't grow up here.
Yeah, but Germans know it really well, and Swiss people know it pretty well, and Swedes know it fairly well, and French people don't know it so well. But they pretend they don't know any. Literally, like you go up to a person in France, the average person in France, unless you're trying to give them money, unless you're trying to buy something, then they will speak enough English to do commerce, yeah, you know. So. But if you're just asking directions, the average French person, unless they're currently enrolled in an English language course and want to practice on you, and even so, they'll probably still be snooty. But The chances are, if you walk to a person in France and start speaking English, they will not speak English back to you. They'll speak French back to you. It's the only country in Europe that's like that. And this is from personal experience. And the thing is, then if you try to speak a little bit of broken French, then they'll speak English to you. Like, oh, at least you're trying and not being an ugly American. They are more sensitive to the idea of ugly Americans than any other nation. The gall, pardon the pun, the Charles de Gaulle of someone American going over there and trying to tell France how to run their business. It's mind blowing.
So what's their problem with these locks?
They think it's like graffiti. They think it's like, you know, uglifying public property, and they want everything to be, you know, as it was. It's also kind of a conservatism in a way. Like, a lot of Europe looks exactly, except for where things were bombed by the Nazis, a lot of Europe looks exactly like it did, you know, and bombed by the American, you know, a lot of Germany and Nazi strongholds were also bombed to hell by the Americans and the Brits. But where things were not bombed, a lot of Europe looks like it did 500 years ago, and it's really beautiful, and I love that about Europe, is their sense of tradition and preservation of historical architecture. It's a great thing. I love it.
Well, speaking of architecture, I mean, that's one of the things that sticks out to me in this article, where there might be a legitimate concern. I obviously don't like the route that they're taking to go about it, but saying
protecting the integrity of the structure.
Exactly. It's saying some of the weight of these locks is making bridges routinely fall apart, which in turn have to get repaired. And I'm not positive on the local politics out there, but where does that money come from?
Huh. What is their basis of believing that? Is that actually making it do that, or they just believe it might happen?
There's a quote in here saying parts of Pointe des Arts routinely collapse now from the weight of the locks.
Huh. I wonder if it's from the weight of the locks, or if that's just what the American nanny staters are trying to tell people. Because a lot of these things are so solidly built that there are a lot of things are in better shape that are 500 years old there than things in America that are 50 years old, because they made them well and they made them to last. You know, because they were made.
They don't build bridges like they used to.
Well, they were made by kings too, and kings routinely pass their holdings on to their offspring. They're not like politicians who try to loot as much as they can in 4 years and then get out.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you saw this recently on a TV show. What TV show was it that had lock loves, love locks?
I believe you said you had seen some of this too. A little show by the name of Parks and Recreation.
I've seen that show. I haven't seen the latest season though.
It is hilarious. I love that show because they make so much fun of politics. You kind of got to turn off your libertarian hat, thinking hat.
Statist hat. You have to put on your minarchist hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know though, because they really just routinely slay. You know, the main character is a female politician in a small town who's kind of a career politician. I mean, she's like on the city council of some tiny little town in the Midwest. And she has pictures on the wall of like Bella Abzug and Nancy Pelosi, Republican and Democrat women politicians, because they're her gods. She wants to be president. You know, she's a career politician. They make fun of her for that. We'll be back with the Parks and Rec Review on Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean. I'm going to open the windows here on Airworm 1. Yeah, there. I can see better now. I can see Recluse, Wyoming below me. That's the blimp. So, Derek, Garrett. I almost called you Derek.
I heard that. Yeah.
So many friends with weird names. Weird. It's not really that weird, but yeah. I was reading an email from Derek. Yeah, oh, Nikki Darling sent us an awesome picture that y'all can't see because this is radio, but it's a picture she took in Prague, Czech Republic, former communist Czechoslovakia, now a freer place, but they still hit people over the head for partying there because they did that when I was there in 2005. They were raiding, the police were in goon riot gear raiding a rave on private property. That's pretty goony and communist. That's pretty Soviet. So, yeah, but she sent me, it's a beautiful place, man. It's a beautiful place, and everything there is 500 years old. And she sent me a picture of love locks on a bridge in Prague, and it was pretty darn cool. And, you know, you can go to Nikki Darling Art, the website I just set up for her, Nikkidarlingart, and it's a portal to her two art for sale sites, but you can enjoy the art a lot without it. She does wedding photography, and she also makes earrings, and they're pretty cool. So yeah,
she's actually going to be doing some engagement photos for me and Annie.
Oh, you're getting married, and Nikki Darling is your photographer. That's so cool.
It's exciting. We're going to go out and about in New Hampshire during Porkfest and get some nice scenic pictures.
You going to pay her in silver or Bitcoin?
Probably Bitcoin. You know, that's the fun part. We don't have to give her FRNs or anything.
Yeah. You know, Ben Stone is making an offer to sell 2 Bitcoin at a discount, but is only selling it to cool fiend fans. So if you want some, this is like the end of the show. This is like the community bulletin board part, the international community bulletin board part. Because, you know, someone in Prague could buy that Bitcoin and could pay us with could pay Ben or pay Nikki to do work from far away, you know? So yeah, it's all good. And we were talking about the show Parks and Rec and how cool it is and how much it makes fun of government. There's actually a libertarian character in that who calls himself libertarian. He works for the state, which is kind of not very libertarian, but he does it as a strategy. Ron Swanson basically wants to run City Hall as inefficiently as possible.
Yeah. It's so good because his whole mentality is I'm going to sit here and do nothing because that is how the government works.
Yeah.
We do not want an effective team here.
Yeah. He's a saboteur. And the word saboteur comes from the French word sabot, however you say it, for shoe. And it was people used to, when it was illegal to go on strike, they would throw their shoes into the machines in the factories where they worked to gum up the works, as they say. And he's basically doing that without breaking anything. He's just sitting in a chair, not letting things get done in government. And I kind of like that. He's also like the coolest character ever on TV. I mean, don't you want to go have a steak and a beer and go and then have like 6 more beers and then go hunting with Ron Swanson?
Yeah, exactly. With no licenses.
With no licenses. Yeah. Yeah. There's one where the city comes by to inspect his his home workshop where he builds furniture. And that actor actually builds furniture in canoes. That's written in because he does that. And those are his creations you see in there. But so they come by with like, you know, they tell him he has to get it up to code. And he's like, well, how hard could that be? And they hand him the book of codes. And it's like 5 inches thick paperback, like a big, like a New York City phone book or something. And the next scene is him like cutting it in half on a table saw.
Yeah. He's like, what's wrong with this pile of oily rags I have sitting over here under the fireplace?
I know. They kind of make fun of libertarians because they make it sound like, you know, they're all going to die if they were in charge or not in charge. But what's wrong with this, the pile of oily rags under the Bunsen burner? Yeah.
You're right. I got a fire extinguisher right there, but it had expired 10 years ago.
But actually, they do at one point you find out that he's basically a millionaire because he's been buying gold every week since he was 14 and working in a 14 and working in a coal mine.
Worms.
Thanks, Garrett Fox. It's been real good having you on the Freedom Fiends. I look forward to having you on subbing more.
Been a lot of fun, brother. Can't wait to see you at Porkfest.
Yep. Tomorrow, Nima Vidati, big announcement. Be there on the Freedom Fiends. Same bat channel. Worms.
Mew. Mew.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.